That, let's see if somebody has back here. Because they may have gone back here for that. Or another addition. I wonder if he simplified it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Remember, I said on Quizlet that you can't totally trust it. Because those are just students. Their students are typing that in.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, I did a master list for, like, 450 words. And I borrowed somebody else's, other people's lists and combined them.
Yeah.
But then I went through meticulously and checked them all. And I found a lot of mistakes.
Okay, so you actually have to check that.
Yeah.
With
your for sure, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
I found a mistake. They have a definition for almost, but the word wasn't.
It inverted with another card or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we got to hustle. You guys see up on the board. Up on the board. That was Stevie Wonder, wasn't it?
No.
What? What was that?
That's with the surf
video.
I'm not sure.
Oh, it had that Stevie Wonder sound. Okay. All right. So. We're supposed to be today starting the genitive dative case, and we're not, so we're a little bit behind.
All right.
That's okay. That's all right. But we do need to kind of hustle here a little bit today. So open up your grammars, back to chapter 6, and let's review a little bit. Page 38. Yeah, we can start the recording. You did? Oh, okay. What? I didn't see you go over there. Okay. Page 38, summary. Number one. This is a very significant, important part of grammar. Number one. Everyone got it? The fog. The fog. You are now entering the fog. You will have read this chapter and think you understand it. Perhaps you do, but it will seem foggy. That's okay. If living in the fog becomes discouraging, look two chapters back and you should understand that chapter clearly. The alphabet, diphthongs, rough and smooth breather marks, acute, circumflex, accents, grave accents. Remember the diaresis? We've never seen it since then. That's the two little dots. All that. That was like two chapters ago. In two more chapters, chapter 6 will be totally clear. Assuming that you keep studying, it says. Also, Greek uses case endings to show a noun's what?
Function.
Everyone say function.
Function.
Function. Function. So, the different case endings are used to designate cases. The nominative case is telling us what function?
Subject.
Okay. The nominative case is telling us that the noun is functioning as the
subject.
Right. The accusative case is telling us that the noun is functioning how?
Object.
As the object, the direct object. Okay? Also, the case ending will tell us number, like singular or plural, and gender, masculine, feminine, or neuter. All of that is in that case ending. These right here. These will tell us the function. They will tell us the number. They'll tell us the gender. All within this ending. Okay? Three. The stem of a noun is what is left after removing the case ending. So after you take those off, you're left with the stem. And it carries the basic meaning. So, let me erase my case name here, a number. There's my sigma. I could write the stem like that. That blue part is the part that contains the meaning. Which means what?
Stem or word.
Logos means word.
Word,
right? So I could go down and write that stem like this, all the way down. Does the meaning change? No, the meaning of the stem, the meaning of the word inherently, this means word, doesn't change. But what changes is the function. This is the subject, or this is a subject. This is an object, and this is an object. What's the difference between here and here?
Singular
and plural. So this is a subject, object, but singular, plural. But it still means, the stem still means word. So this you translate words. But functioning in a sentence, subject and object. Yes, I see the hand.
So when we're parsing, what do we do for the inflected meaning?
The inflection means what?
Change.
That's the opposite of lexical or dictionary. The dictionary definition. Inflected meaning means, what do these mean in light of their change? All that we're going to hear right now is the difference between singular and plural. So words. But if I wrote in English, the word spoke to the word. Right? This is both word and word. But this is functioning as the object and this is functioning as the subject. In English, did we spell these different?
No.
So in English, you have to pay attention to where they are. But in Greek, when we have this and we have this, does word order matter?
No.
All that matters is that you see the endings and you know subject and object.
So then, why is it an inflected meaning? How does it change them? Because you just said that the meaning doesn't change?
The meaning in the sense of the inherent meaning of the stem itself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The inflected meaning here, the only difference would be singular and plural. Yeah.
Would you also imply an inflection subject or object? Or no?
Yes, but when you write it out, it's still going to be word or words.
Okay.
Right? Because it's out of context. So when you're writing the inflected meaning down here in your homework, you would just write word.
Okay.
Or words. Word. Apostles or apostle. You can't really show subject or object in the inflected meaning part. But we're going to do the homework in just a minute, so we'll come back to that. Yes.
Do you ever see the stem just by itself? Or is
no.
It always with an ending?
It is always with an ending. This is just, we're learning the case endings so that when we see them in the sentences, we're able to discern the inherent meaning and then how it's functioning. And then singular or plural. And then we would know what to expect as far as if it's masculine, female, or second or first declension, like we know what we should expect to see in the endings, you know. So we're going to learn this, we're going to learn the article chart, and then we're pretty much good to recognize anything. Okay? All right. So, now, for next week, this chart will probably be there again, just like the alphabet. Okay? But the chart that we have to learn, because they're your best buddies, is the article chart. So that's going to be that. We'll do that here in a second. I'm going to go back to the summary. We'll do it in the order of the summary. Okay. 4. The subject of a verb uses nominative case endings, and the direct object uses accusative case endings. We said that. 5. Memorize the paradigm of the case endings in the article. We've done part of that. 6. The article agrees with the noun that it modifies in case number and gender, so the article will always go with the appropriate case ending. the two charts will match. Six, the article. Okay, I said that. Seven, learn the endings by themselves. Then learn the full paradigm that lists the article, noun, stem, and case ending. So I'm not going to quiz you on that, but you can see right there under number seven what it would look like with the article and the stem and the case endings all together. Ha lagas, kan lagan, hoy lagoy, tus lagus. Eight, the first three noun rules. Stems ending in alpha or eta are in the first declension. Stems ending in omicron are in the second. And consonantal stems are in the third. The declension of a noun affects only its form, not its meaning. Two, every neuter word has the same form in the nominative and accusative. Three, almost all neuter words end in alpha in the nominative and accusative plural. So, those last two, you know visually from the charts. That's just putting it in sentence form. And then nine, divide the sentences you're translating into its parts, subject, verb, direct object, keep the article with the noun it modifies. You'll only do that for like a chapter, that's just to kind of get you to see stuff. Okay, what we have to memorize next, there's only a few things we memorize, and this is, we're just getting them out of the way here, is the definite article chart, and that's on page 35. Page 35. Okay? So, same thing. We have nominative, singular. We have accusative, singular. Nominative, plural. And accusative, plural. Then we have two, one, two. Second, first, second declension. Masculine, feminine, neuter. Okay? We're going to go left to right again. Ha, he, ta. Everyone say that. Ha, he, ta. All right. Now this, if you look in your book, you see the little blue versus black font. What do you notice about that?
Oh, that's the trick that we did before.
Oh. Look at the blue version of the font. What is that? Very similar to what you've already learned. Okay, so let's notice some of the similarities here. From our other chart. This nominative singular line, are there any similarities? No, nothing. Okay. Got to learn the nominative singular, but that's the lexical form anyway, right? Ha, hey, ha. So every second declension masculine nominative singular word that ends in sigma, is, if it has a definite article, it's going to be ha. So ha, lagas. Every nominative singular first declension feminine word is going to have the definite article hey. So hora. Hey, hora. Every nominative singular second declension neuter word, like ergon, it's going to ta, ta, ergon. The work. Don't let that hypnotize you. Okay. But when we get down here to the accusative singular, we start to see the case endings. We see the new, but we don't have it over here. We don't have it here. Probably to differentiate it between this one and this one. Okay? Yoda. Yoda.
Alpha.
Alpha. Us. Sigma. Alpha. So pretty similar. What's the best way to learn this chart?
Write it down.
Write it. Write it out over and over again. Okay, open up your workbooks. Page 11. Page 11. Let's introduce how the workbook works. Exercise 6, page 11. Introduction. Because this is your first full lesson with parsing and translating, I'd like to offer some helpful suggestions. Treat these exercises as though they were a test. Just, you can be more anxious that way. In other words, do not keep looking back for the answers in the textbook. Learn the chapter and then do the exercises. If you are not able to do all the exercises, go back, review the chapter, and redo them. Write your vocabulary words on flashcards and go through them a couple times before doing the exercise. You're already doing that, right? Do not get frustrated because you do not know all the words in the exercises. One of the problems in introducing you to the New Testament this early is that there are things you do not know. Because I want to give you the satisfaction of actually applying what you are learning by translating from the Bible. I've given you helps. Enjoy the fact that you're actually translating from Scripture. Okay. Inductive method and the footnotes. There are two different ways of learning a language, the deductive and inductive. The deductive emphasizes charts and a structure often foreign to the language. The inductive attempts to teach a language as it's naturally learned, learning grammar as you encounter it. However, if you are not immersed in the language and its culture, this is difficult. I have tried to blend the two. One of the ways I do this is to teach the basic grammar in the chapter, and then as you meet some of the more unusual aspects of the Greek grammar in the exercises, to discuss the grammar there. So here, pay attention to the footnotes. In the grammar, not so much, because they're like really full of extra details that will confuse you. But here in the workbook, we do want to pay attention to the footnotes, because he's helping us to get the answer. Okay? All right. So what we will typically have in each exercise is a parsing section. You guys can see that there. Then after that, if you turn the page, he has a warm-up section. You do not have to do this. This is just for those of you that feel like you need a warm-up. Alright? Then you have your translation. Let's read this. The definition of any word that you do not know is listed after the Greek word in parentheses. See down there, number one, apostello. You have I send, so he gave you the definition there. I don't define the same word twice in the same verse. You only get it once. If you do not understand the form of the Greek word I have defined, and many times you will not, don't worry about it. The day's own trouble is sufficient. If two or more words that you do not know occur together, their meaning is given in the footnotes. Remember to divide the sentences into its parts, identify subject, verb, and direct object. I won't be grading on that. This is for you. Because you are just starting to read Biblical Greek, I can only show you bits and pieces of the verses. In a few chapters, the sentences will be fuller and make more sense. Okay, so you see 1 through 10. You can see some footnotes down there. Turn the page. Then on page 14, the additional. You will not have to do this. Isn't that exciting? Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. So here he's giving you more work. If this is like the only class you're taking and you're really excited, you can do more translation right there. And here he's taking it maybe from the Septuagint or the Didache or something like that. Okay. And then down at the bottom you have references. He actually showed you which scripture passages he's taking these from. Don't look at that, because that would be cheating. These are going to be hard to not think of verses that you already know anyway. because you're going to hear them and they go, oh, I know that verse, right? And that's part of the problem of using verses, because your brain will already be thinking New King James right away as you're reading these. So don't do New King James, do your own translation. Okay. All right. So, typically you will have parsing and translation in your homework. You don't have to do the warm-up, and you don't have to do the additional part. All right? Let's do some parsing. Okay. Page 11. Watch how easy this is going to be. Number one, anthropon. You notice that this whole column at the top is called what?
Inflected.
Does everybody see that? Inflected. These are the changed forms. So we're going to parse anthropon. What is the case of anthropon? How do we know that? Because of the case ending. It's a new. What number is it?
Singular.
It's singular. And we know it's masculine. How do we know that? We know that it is followed. Well, we don't have that chart up here anymore. The stem tells us that it's second declension. The case ending sigma means masculine. So this is accusative, singular, masculine. Now, what is the lexical form of anthropon?
Anthropos.
What would be the inflected meaning of anthropon?
Anthropon would be human.
Man. Man. You can put human, we'll stick with man. But it's singular, right? It's not men, it's man. Okay, so I hope you were writing that in there, because you just got the first answer to your homework. Right?
Can you just repeat that?
Okay. That is... Well, how do you do it then?
I'm just trying to listen to you and not... Well, because when I write, I stop listening.
So. Okay. Look at anthropon. Which case-ending letter does it end in?
Omicron.
That's not the last letter.
Oh my goodness. N.
New, correct?
New.
Okay. So where are your choices up here for new? Could be this one.
Yeah.
Or it could be these three. Alright?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we have, I think this was my pen. From like a long time ago. We have not, and it doesn't work anymore, that's why. This is trash. Okay. We have nominative, singular. We have accusative, singular. We have nominative, plural, and accusative, plural. Okay. Here's the case ending chart. Oh, I didn't tell you. The noun rules. Right? Stems ending in. Right? Alpha and A are the first question. On your quiz, there could be a fill in the blank for those noun rules. Okay? Everyone remember that? Anyone not hear that? Okay. On your quiz, the three noun rules we've had so far in chapter 6, those could be on the quiz. Probably in the form of a fill in the blank. Okay.
I have a question.
Okay, here's your word. And throw. And throw what?
Is that a sigma? At the end?
What's our word there in our workbook?
Anthropon.
New. So here's the stem, anthropa. Here's the case ending. Right? So we come over here. We have a new, we have case ending new, that matches. Or we have new, and that matches. Okay? Why could it not be these?
Why could it not be?
Yeah.
Is it a masculine word?
It's a masculine word. Grammatically masculine. How do we know that?
From the stem.
You're actually closer than you realize. I thought you were going to say it because it ends in an omicron. But that tells us declension, second declension. Right? But if we know what this word is, the lexical form, we know that it ends in a sigma. What's the lexical form of anthropon? Anthropos. So you're right. So, because it ends here lexically, we know that it cannot be the neuter form because the lexical form is not anthropon. Why could it not be this new here? Because the stem ends in an omicron. First declension, stems end in alpha or eta. So it cannot be this one. This is like a game show. We're left with this here. And we know that since it's anthropos, it has to be in that column. Therefore, it's this one here. So if we're going to parse that, the first thing it asks us is case. What case is this one? Accusative case. Did you write that down? Number. It's either singular or plural. In this case, it's singular. Gender. What are our genders? Masculine, feminine, neuter. So we know that it's masculine. So this is why it's important to know this chart. We can figure out everything. This matching game. Usually, typically in Greek in the past, we also had to parse the declension. So we would say, this is a second declension, accusative, singular, masculine, from anthropos, meaning man. But in our workbook, he's not asking us to put the declension in there. Let's do one more, then we'll take a break. Number two. For I. What is the case ending there?
No,
the actual letter.
Yoda.
So, it is going to be which of two choices?
It's going to be feminine or masculine. Our first country, second country, I'm not sure.
It ends in a Yoda, right? Okay. What other observation do we make about horai? What does the stem end in?
Alpha.
Alpha. All right, so I'm going to draw the I'm going to draw the inflected form up here. Hora-i, but this is a diphthong, right? It's not hora-i, it's hora-i. Okay, so this is the ending. So we know that it's nominative plural. So we can come over here and we could write in nominative plural. That's all it could be. But now we must determine if it's masculine or feminine, right?
Feminine.
And how do we know?
Because it's first declension.
Because? First declension nouns end in?
Alpha
or eta. So this is a feminine first declension. So this is nominative, plural, feminine. What word does this come from?
Our.
Hora. Hora. Inflected form horai, but lexical form hora. What's the inflected meaning?
More than 1 hour? Hours?
Hours.
Plural, so it'd be hours. Hours.
And then spelling hora in the lexical form would be omega, omicron, rho, alpha. Hora.
Like this right here. Hora. This is where you gotta know your vocab. All week long, you and your vocab. Vocabulary cards.
Well, couldn't you get the lexical form from the chart?
From up there?
Yeah.
You could. But sometimes the stem will change.
Oh, okay.
So you need to know what the lexical form is.
Okay, you just need to know.
Yes.
Okay, so finding the lexical form, do you have to know that, just, or can you just take off the case ending? Because if you
right now you can take the case ending off.
Okay.
Chapter 10, it gets more interesting.
Yeah,
you learn your vocab. There will always be a way to play detective and figure it out.
Okay.
All right, but it won't be pure memorization. There will always be a clue. Right now our clues are the chart. Okay, let's take a really quick break. Let's take like a 3 to 5 minute break.
I have a question.
Then we'll do more parsing.
Okay, so this chart, is there any exceptions or is this always right?
Nominative, and accusative, singular, and plural, first, second, classroom, masculine, feminine, and neuter. If you have those elements, then that's it.
Okay, well, then I'm confused. Maybe I'm just not understanding right, but on the third noun row, it says almost all neuter words end in alpha, and nominative and accusative plurals. So that would mean this. It's saying almost all the time. So there's exceptions.
There is exceptions.
Which would make
this. You haven't got it.
See that little underline right there?
Yeah. Is that what it's for?
Yeah.
You said we didn't have to do
that. Right now, let's do that.
All right. So I'll just make sure. I get up at 9. You're at your place, yeah?
Yeah.
So you want to do Greek?
Yeah,
but it ends at 9. And I'm off at 9. I'll be over there.
I'll be over there.
But he didn't. He like left it.
Oh.
Yeah, you gave your homework up here.
My house is open for you. Hey, but I'm down, David.
All right, cool. I'm just getting my stuff up on the
window. It's fine.
Okay.
So just
rip
it out.
Yeah, you can. Maybe the in the office they have a stapler.
Okay.
And then so exercise.
Consider yourself lucky. I used to play on a 26-inch. Oh my god!
You didn't have to do that.
Exercise four.
So you should get credit for that.
Okay.
However many points
Well, yeah, I feel like I've had a lot of
I think a brown.
Saved
by grace through faith, bro.
And I don't know why, but I'm like, is it because of this, or is it this, it's because of this, second or third,
I think there's more in your boat than his. I'm in yours.
Sure, you're doing okay for having me.
He's been studying Greek for a couple of years, so I was asking him questions. He's doing Hebrew now.
I'm
just finishing up Chuck. But I was doing it on the summer, so
Okay, did everybody get their homework? Okay. Let's take our seats. Everyone, thank Desi for the goodies today.
What?
Okay, let's go back to parsing. Number three, tame. Is this a word? No, this is a what? This is an article, correct? Tame. But we still see in tame our endings, right? We see the new there. So, what else do we see besides the new ending? What?
I think you passed back the wrong test on accident.
Yeah, I was trying to pass back the old homework and I passed back.
You passed out the current one?
Yeah.
This the one that I've read on.
Yeah.
So. Okay, I need your quizzes back.
Sorry, everyone. I'm trying to be helpful, but I did the opposite.
I thought you passed
back. Wait, we were quiz back.
I know, me too. I was like, don't contaminate them. Don't change them.
Yeah. No, these are bare.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, so nice. Audit, I'm in.
Okay. All right. The article's hang is an inflected form. What do we, if we were trying to figure this out, if we didn't know the chart by heart perfectly, and we looked at this article, this inflected form of the article, what would we notice? It ends in new. What else would we notice? It has an eta. Okay, so we know we're dealing with first declension feminine, right? And then we have, on that first declension feminine chart, we only have new right here. So here's our tane right here. So if we're going to parse that, what case is it?
Accusative.
Accusative. Singular. Feminine. What lexical form?
Ha.
Ha. If you wanted to find the definite article in the dictionary, it would be under omicron. Ha. Sometimes I'll put ha, hey, ta, because that was the vocab part. But it's really just ha. What's the inflected meaning? It's always exciting. It's the.
How do you...
Okay. Number four. Basileos. Basileos. What is some of your observations here? What is the case ending?
Sigma.
So that means we're dealing with, let's look at our choices here in our case ending, right? What are our two choices? Sigma ending. Could be
nominative singular
or accusative plural feminine first declension. What is going to tip us? What do we know? What do we see?
Plural. We see an alpha.
We see an alpha. Stems ending in alpha or eta are of the first declension. So that eliminates the second declension masculine, correct? This is assuming we don't even know what this word is. All we're just going with is case endings and final stem vowel, right? Okay, so now we can parse just based on that. We know that this is accusative, plural, feminine. But now we'd have to guess what's the lexical form here. If you didn't know it, you'd have to go look it up.
Basileia.
So, what is the inflected meaning of basileos?
Kingdoms.
All right, now, I'm going to assign you groups for the next set. So you guys here in the front are going to do number 5. The next table is going to do number 6. The third table is going to do number 7. The girls in the back are going to do number 8. The girls in the far back are number 9. You guys in the second to back are going to do number 10. You guys here in the front,
1 through 10.
Number 5, we'll check them. You guys in the second table are going to do number 6. Okay? Couple minutes.
So, that's where the step is. So, all the constants depend on constants. So, it's either going to be this. Now, we have a three. So, only one newer than the second. So, we know it's like the clutches, so that's how. And then we look at this. So,
When you're reading or writing, I thought you said there was, it was either all caps when you're writing or it's not. Is that completely?
Unless it's a proper name.
So for God would not be capital.
No, that's, remember the theta is a little bit bigger. It's only on record. So if you have your dot on the right,
So you would know the difference between him meaning God and like how we do in English God, capital G, or G God would be from what? How
it would be. That was like the
Okay, so that's what I said. Unless it is a proper name, it's like our vocabulary. So did they make that for us easier for us to okay, so like the all the way back was either on apps or the
Okay, let's reconvene. Guys, you ready? Who had number five?
We did.
Okay, you guys over here are checking them, right? Number five, go for it. Parse number five for us.
So, it's nominative, plural, masculine. The lexical form is theos.
The reflected meaning.
Oh, gods.
Okay, pretty good. What did they forget?
What?
Whoa. Case ending.
Now you get case. Okay, give your parsing again.
So we did case, which was nominative, number, plural.
Okay, that's what you forgot, the number. I don't think I heard you say the number. You heard it? Okay, then I didn't hear it. Okay, just parse it again.
Parse it again?
Yeah.
So it's easy this time, bro. So,
case?
The case ending for Thei.
Not the case ending, but what's the case?
Case is nominative.
Nominative?
Yes, nominative.
Nominative, okay.
Nominative.
No, just nominative.
Oh, nominative.
Yeah.
No, and then the number is plural.
Plural, yeah.
Yeah. The gender here is masculine.
Correct.
And the lexical form, according to Mounds, is theos.
Yes.
And the inflected meaning is gods.
Correct, gods. Very good. Is that, you guys concur?
Yes.
Okay. Next table. Number six.
The case could be nominative or accusative.
That's correct.
It's singular.
That's correct.
It's masculine.
Is it?
Oh, no, it's neuter. I'm sorry.
That's correct.
My M's and N's look too much alike. The lexical form is ha, and the inflected meaning is the.
Correct. Does everybody see that? Does anyone not see it? Very good.
The other chart, that chart.
The chart was right up there on the wall, on the board, yes. Okay. Do you guys concur? That was your assignment too. Okay. All right, number seven? Number seven, go ahead and parse.
All right, seven is analogous. The case is accusative, number is plural, gender masculine, intellect form is.
Correct.
Words.
Very good. Number eight.
The case is.
You first have to say the word.
Keroid.
Uh huh.
Nominative.
Okay.
Plural. Masculine. Keros. Times or seasons.
Very good. I hope you guys are getting all your answers right for your homework.
Yeah, we can.
Okay, good. Number nine.
Number nine is cops. It's accusative, plural, feminine, paw, and it's the.
That's the lexical form, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Inflected meaning?
Yeah. Is the.
The, yes.
What was the lexical form?
Lexical form of all the articles is what?
Ha.
Ha.
We're using the L.
Well, yeah, look at the
top.
Ha.
Ha.
Nominative singular masculine will always be the lexical form for the article. Ha. Does anyone not understand that?
Yeah, but this is a feminine, right?
It doesn't matter. You want to look up the definition of the definite article in the dictionary? Will be listed under? Yes.
How do you pronounce the flexible form of number eight?
Kairos. Yes.
So would it be ha, he, or ta? It would only be ha for lexical form.
Yeah. You've got to think from alpha to omega. Where am I going to find the article in the dictionary? Under what letter?
Omicron.
Under Omicron. So ha will be the entry. Okay. It'll say ha, he, ta. But in the dictionary, if you want to find it, you have to look it under Omicron. Ha.
So on all the ones that mean the, it would always be ha?
Yes.
So that's the, okay.
Yes. Number 10. Who is number 10? Parse number 10.
So the case is accusative, the number is singular, the gender is male or masculine. So lexical form is Christos, and the inflected meaning is Christ.
Very good. Very good. Okay, parsing. You guys all have your parsing homework done. Let's go to translation. Translation. You guys ready to do Greek?
Ready to talk or Greek? Let's go.
We're here. Okay, number one on translation. Does everyone see it?
Yes.
Apostello ton angelon. So he gives us the definition of the verb here. Remember, all verbs contain pronouns. Some of you weren't here when I said that like over and over again. What? Well, first, let's just talk about verbs. Remember, every verb contains pronouns. Apostello is obviously in the first person. Because look at his translation. I send. Okay? Kind of sounds like the word for apostle, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Apostolos, very similar, right? Okay, so apostello, I send. So he's already given us that. He's given us our subject and our verb, because the subject is the pronoun that's embedded in the verb. And then ton angelon. What do we notice about the case ending on angelon? What case is it?
Accusative.
And what number?
Second.
Singular or plural?
Singular or plural? Is it singular or plural?
Singular.
What gender?
Male.
masculine.
What, on the last one?
Tom Angulon.
Angulon.
Now I heard masculine and neuter.
Masculine.
Can we eliminate one of those by what we have here?
Yes. Well, we know the lexical form is angulos, right?
Okay. So one way we could eliminate whether it's masculine or feminine is if you knew the lexical form.
Yes. Okay.
If it was a sigma or a new ending on the lexical form. But let's say you didn't know that this was angulos.
The article.
What's the second way?
The article.
The article. Look at the neuter articles. Ta, 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 cat. Ta, ta. Do we see a new on any of these?
No.
Everyone.
No.
Do we see a new on any of these? We don't. So, it cannot be a neuter. Right? So that is an accusative singular masculine from angelos that means angel. So what is the translation? I send the angel. Case tells us what?
The function.
There's a couple people answering. Case tells us what?
Function.
Right? So how is angulon functioning?
As the object.
As the object. I hope all of you that are not speaking out loud are saying it in your mind. Right? Okay. Very good. I send the angel. That was easy. Yes. On that one? Should I go back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just general. With the different meanings of the nouns, like, you know, I'll give us sometimes three or four possible translations.
Right.
I don't know which, are they all?
In this case, you would just try them out.
Okay.
See which one makes the most sense. Did you guys hear her question?
No.
Oh.
Why didn't you?
Because you're talking Greek, right?
Yes.
So I thought. Okay. She asked, with some of these words, you have a range of meaning. How will you know what to use? The answer was?
The answer was, depends, you have to try them out.
Try them out.
Try them out.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of context here. You just try them out and see what makes the most sense. Okay. Number two. Altoi, ton, theon, opsuntai. Opsuntai. Do we know what opsuntai means?
No.
Only because he gives it to us.
Oh.
Opsuntai. They will see. They will see. So all verbs contain a pronoun. So we have a built-in subject right there with the pronoun, right? They will see. Now, let's break down these other pieces. What do we do with ton theon? Ton theon, you have the article and a noun. What do we notice?
They agree.
They agree, they go together. The article goes with that word, but what else do we notice?
Accusative singular.
Oh.
So it's
what ending? What ending do we see? We see the new ending, right?
Yeah. Are we looking at theos?
We're looking at theon.
Theon. Theon. Theon. Theon.
I'm going to zoom.
Second
to right here. Big. Okay. Ton theon opsuntai. What do we notice here? What is this?
New
ending, correct? So, and we see the article ton. We know it's masculine. So we know it's masculine, singular, accusative. So it's functioning as the object, right? So they will see, what's the object?
God.
They will see God. Now, what do we do with this altoi over here? It's messing everything up. Well, let's parse this. What is the Yoda ending?
Nominative,
plural.
And it's masculine.
And we know it's masculine, first, second declension because of the Omicron, correct?
Yes.
But what is that word?
It means he, she, it, or they.
This is the third person pronoun. He, she, it, or they. This was in your vocabulary. Did I put this on the quiz? Altas?
Yes.
No, I didn't. Did I? No.
I think you did.
No, you did not.
Your brains are so mushy I could manipulate them right now and ask you questions and you would just say, yeah. No, that was not on the quiz. That was not on the quiz. But that was in your vocab. Altas. He gave us that in our vocab because it's so common. Altas, the pronoun, altas. So here we have the inflected form of autos. We have autoi. They, plural, they. They the God they will see. What is happening here? Why do we have the redundancy?
Because in Greek, emphasis.
Yeah, it's making it emphatic. So sometimes in my translations, I'll put they themselves, almost like a reflexive sense, they themselves will see God. Do we do that in English? No, we don't, not really. Only like New American Standard Version there. Like super literal, right? They themselves will see God. So it's really trying to emphasize here this extra pronoun in front. It's they will see God, not us.
Which would you make the subject? Like when we answer that, do you put the subject under the verb or under the they? Because sometimes they won't have that autoi.
Do we have to have autoi here?
No.
Does everyone get this? Do we have to have autoi?
No.
Because every verb contains a pronoun. So we technically don't need it. You could have just had ton, theon, opsantai. Would have meant the same thing. But for emphasis, to be emphatic, they added the pronoun out front because they're trying to distinguish. They themselves will see God. And we could go exegete that passage right now and talk about why it's pointing to someone over there. But that's not the point of class right now. Yes.
Couldn't you already tell that they were talking about they because of the end of the last word?
Opsantai?
Yeah.
Yeah, the verb.
Yeah. So you could tell that they were talking about a multiple number of people.
Yeah, the ending on the verb, the personal endings on the verb, this I ending, which you don't know right now. You don't know those endings. Okay, but if you did, you would know that that was third person plural. They. He's giving it to us. Yeah, let's. That'll blow up our brains here if we start talking about verbal endings and stuff.
When we translate this, do you want us to translate that?
I would like you to put it into good English, okay. Not to follow the order here.
Okay, so you don't want us to say.
You wouldn't say they, the God they will see. Your translation would be they will see God.
Okay, so we don't need to do what you did. They themselves.
No.
Okay.
You can go NIV on this one. Okay. Number three. Adidaskin autus. Adidaskin autus. So we have the verb here. He, she, or it was teaching. Autus. What is autus?
Them.
This is what. Let's parse autus. What case is it?
It's in the accusative plural.
Accusative because of the us ending, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And it's plural. Is it masculine, feminine, or neuter?
Masculine.
It's masculine. And what word is that from?
Autos.
The same one we just had from Altoi, Altas. So this is a pronoun. It means he, she, or it, or they. But what case is this?
Accusative.
Accusative functions how?
Object.
The object. So how would we translate the plural in the object here, the objective form? Instead of they, it would be them. So he, she, or it was teaching them. So your translation, you might just say he was teaching them. Unless you want to make it a girl. It's fine. It's probably Jesus. So it's probably he. Okay. Alright, now, we're going to do our groups again. So, you guys are going to do number four.
What's triangle?
Back. You can put the answer right there. Number five, this table. You guys are number six. Number seven. Number eight. Number nine. You guys back there, you're the four of you do ten.
So in this case, like, the ending does matter, but it's not masculine or feminine. It's first person. Well, first person. Or person.
So we need to know.
So we're learning. When we're doing, when we're going backward, we're going back to the one that we're learning this week. Is that what we're referencing back to the one? Are we referencing back to the new one?
Because we're moving forward.
This class right now?
Oh, I see why you're asking. Oh, I thought it was a disservice if it was he or
so,
she.
So, for reading these
different
right now. Oh, okay.
So, well, this is the article chart.
Yeah.
That's what you
have
it.
That's what I was
But there were like 20.
That was yours.
Pursue.
Married.
Well,
married one of them.
Hey, it was.
So we all said those seven.
Okay, let's just do this in a couple minutes here. Yes.
So we're working on number 19, and I put, you know, indigenous people every hour because it's like, hold on. And we looked at the scripture, and in the ESV it says there are indigenous people all the time.
Yeah. No, right now for our vocab, we're limiting ourselves to what's in the book. Not what's in the NIV.
Who's the NASB?
All right, NASB.
Oh, sorry, you're I know. Okay, I thought you were that one.
Okay, are we about done? Anyone not finished?
No. That's good.
All right, one more minute.
Is that command form or the form? Is that like a command?
Yes.
Is there some way to tell about pursue or exclamation mark?
Pursue
love. Pursue love. Right, pursue or pursue exclamation mark? So is there a way to tell that?
Yes. From the word. Yeah. But you guys don't know that.
Okay. So commands will have different endings or certain parts of it?
Different endings, that's right. It's all about the ending. Okay.
Even though questions don't
matter. All right, number four. Diokete Hain Agapain. What is your answer?
Pursue his love.
Pursue, we know that part. Tame agapein. Pars agapein. What ending is it?
It's a new.
The new ending. Alright, so look up on your case ending chart.
And it's the first declension, right?
How do you know that?
Because it ends in an eta. Or the stem ending is an eta.
That's right.
So
you understand that?
Yeah. Accusative singular.
It only could be this one right here. Mm-hmm. Accusative singular. So because it's accusative, it's functioning how? Accusative is the case. How does the accusative case function?
Object.
The object. So what is the object of our pursuit?
Love.
Where did you get the possessive form there? You did not.
The taint.
You did not. What is the taint? What is the taint?
I was trying to look for it. I can't wait.
What is taint? What part of speech is taint? It's an article, the definite article.
The?
Taint. It means the.
Pursue.
This means pursue the love. But how do we translate that?
Pursue love.
We just smooth that. Pursue love. Yes.
But isn't that like a feminine version of it?
Words only have one grammatical gender. They never change genders. So agape with an eta will always be feminine first declension because stems ending in eta or alpha are the first declension. So, it will never become a masculine, grammatically masculine word. Yes.
Why are you dropping the article in translation?
We talked about that last week. For certain kinds of words that carry like a really big concept, we don't in English put the definite article in front of them. But in the Greek, they have it there. Pursue the love. But here, it's just pursue love. We know from the context that agape has had a development. The idea of agape love has been developed through Jesus and into Paul. Right? So we're familiar with agape.
So just more in context and like how and understanding what it means really. So you can just throw it out.
Yeah, it's kind of embedded in the idea there. Yeah, we don't say pursue the guy. Say just pursue God. Yeah. So sometimes they'll make it definite.
They always put the article for every subject, pretty much. They
no.
They do it in God whenever they refer. Or I guess they do that just for names and things like that.
For names, yeah.
Yeah, we can
draw them. Yeah. You'll kind of get a feel for it as you see them.
Yeah.
Okay. So pursue love. Number five.
Search the scriptures.
Alright, so we got you search from Arounatah. The new goes with the diphthong. It goes with the na. Alright, I don't say that word every day. Tas graphas. So you search, that's the verbal idea with the pronoun. Pars graphos. Pars graphos.
Is accusative.
Accusative.
Plural.
Plural. Mm-hmm. What gender?
Feminine.
Feminine.
Mm-hmm. And the lexical form is graphe.
Graphe. So remember, graphe in the singular ends in an eta, but all eta alpha. First declension feminine words, when they go to the plural, end in an alpha. Did you guys all get that? Slow review here. All eta alpha first declension feminine singular forms, when they get to the plural, the final stem vowel will be an alpha. So you could have hora or graphe, but when it comes down here, it will always be alpha. Okay.
The stem.
The final stem vowel.
The final stem vowel.
Alright, number six.
The time has come and the kingdom has drawn near.
Okay. Papleirotai ha kairos kai ego. Let's see. Angakin, hey Vasileia. So you said, the time and has drawn near the kingdom.
I said, the time has come, it has.
How did you get that such a good word order? Parse for me, ha kairos.
Because that's the time, which is nominative singular.
Nominative singular with gender?
Masculine.
Masculine from what word?
Kairos.
So, yeah, so here it's the inflected and the lexical is the same, right? Because it's the nominative singular. So it's functioning because it's nominative. How is it functioning, Caleb?
Subject.
The subject, that's right. So he got that right in his translation. The time. And then the verb for that has come. Parse. The parse, hey Vasileia. Hey Vasileia. What case is hey?
Nominative.
Nominative, right? The article will always be your friend when it's with a noun. So if you're in doubt about a word, oh, this word looks kind of weird, right? If it's got the definite article, the article is your friend. So, hey, Vasileia. Oh, the article? Nominative singular. So, Vasileia, we know that it ends in alpha now, and that's also the nominative singular form, because the article and the noun will always agree together. So, it's nominative singular, and what gender is Vasileia?
Feminine.
Desi. Feminine, right. And what's the lexical form? Yes. Getting help there. Yes, the nominative singular form, so it's the same. And how, if it's the nominative, how is it functioning? What, how does the nominative case function? The subject, right. Saying, we have to say it, and it helps you to remember it. Okay, so we have two subjects here, don't we? Everyone?
Yes.
We have two nominative cases. The time, the kingdom. How are they connected? By chi. What does chi mean?
And.
So the time and the kingdom. But we also have two verbs. So he was right. The time has come and the kingdom has drawn near. Very good. Number 7.
Christ finished the messages.
Christ finished the messages. How did you know to put Christ as your subject?
Because of the ND sigma.
Is what case?
It is nominative.
Right. And the nominative case tells us the subject. How did you know to put lagus as the object?
Because the ending us. Or
us ending, right.
As well as the tus article.
Yep, tus, lagus, they match.
That is
accusative plural. Because you said words, right? Okay, so what was your translation again?
I translated it messages because I thought maybe
that's okay.
Like, so Christ finished the messages or the words.
Okay, yep. This is very basic kind of sentences here. Okay, yeah. Are there any questions about that? Number 8.
The seventh was made for man and not man for the seventh.
Okay. Ta sabbaton. Dia ton anthropon, egenita, kai ux ha anthropos, dia ta sabbaton. Okay, this is a little tricky here. Where is our subject? What did you pick as the subject?
Ta sabbaton. For the, yeah, ta sabbaton.
Okay? You took it as a nominative. Could that also be taken as accusative?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, tricky. Right? So this neuter form, ta and ta, could be both nominative or accusative. That's a little hard. So the Sabbath for man was made. Pars ton anthropon, you guys.
Pars ton
anthropon. Pars anthropon.
Accusative singular.
Accusative singular. What gender?
Masculine.
Masculine from what word?
Anthropos.
Anthropos. Right. Okay. Again, a top. And now everyone see the ux there? After Kai?
Oh, yeah.
Not.
What word is that?
Not.
That's from u. U. But when it's followed by another vowel, it adds that key in there. So ux, not man for the Sabbath. What's this footnote say? Notice that there is no verb in the second half of the verse. When a Greek sentence is composed of two parallel ideas, verbs from the first half are often unexpressed but assumed in the second half. Okay. Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Look at the last ta, sabbaton.
Yeah.
Right?
That one's the object. Or that's
how do you know that's the object?
Because anthropos is in the nominative.
Anthropos is in the nominative. Yeah. So you're just, because you're looking at this and going, he reversed it. Like he had one in the accusative and one in the nominative, and now he swapped it, and anthropos is swapped, so you're guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a very good guess. It's a very good guess. What's another way we could know that this is an object and not a subject?
Which word?
The very last word of this sentence is sabbaton. Ta, sabbaton. It could be either nominative or accusative, right? Because in the neuter, it has ta as the article, right?
Right.
And it has the new ending. So it could be either one. And we're trying to figure out how can we know that it's the accusative or the nominative case. And one guess was, well, he has switched anthropon to anthropos, so he must be switching this. And that's a good guess. But there's another way we could know for sure.
Because of the ha in front of anthropos that precedes it.
Well, that would tell us what anthropos is.
That has to be the subject.
That's the subject, we know that for sure. But how do we know with ta, sabbaton, whether it is... You could have two subjects. So how do we know that this is either nominative or accusative? You want to take another guess?
Well, yeah, because the dia, the preposition, has to have an object.
Ah, yes. Very good. Excellent. We went from guessing to real stuff. So, dia, which he gave us in the first part of the sentence, means for. So it's a preposition. Prepositions have to have an object. The object of the preposition. So this could not be the subject case. This could be nominative. This is accusative here. Dia takes its object in the accusative. So that would tell us for sure which of the two to pick. So that's helpful. Dia, ta, sabbaton. All right, number 9. Who had number 9?
Yeah.
Who's the spokesperson?
I'll do it.
And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God.
Okay. And, we know Kai, and apostelen, he, she, or it was sent autus kerusain to preach tain basileon to theu. Okay. So, and, he, she, or it was sent autus.
The U.S., the
us ending?
Makes it accusative plural, mm-hmm. and that would make it them.
From what word?
From atu?
Autos. This is the third person pronoun, right? But in the plural object, it's going to be them. And he, she, or it sent them to preach. Caleb pars pain basileon.
Kingdom.
Yes, kingdom, but what is the case? Basileon.
New.
The new, and so what case is that? Case ending? It's a new case ending, right? It's either this one or one of these.
So it's
accusative
singular.
Accusative singular. What gender?
Feminine.
From what word?
Basileia.
Basileia, right. So he wanted to preach with the object of kingdom. To Theu means of God. Uh-oh. What is that upsilon ending there? On 2 Thayu. That is chapter 7. Okay, number 10.
Oh, wait, what's the
one called? Conflict?
Circumflex. Yeah, but all I worried about is the case ending upsilon. Okay, sentence, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God. All right, number 10. The group in the back. Let me read the Greek. Kai nun he basileia su u stasetai. What's your translation?
And now your kingdom will not continue.
That's so sad. Okay. Unless he's talking about the devil. Okay. So, and now. So there's that nun, that adverb there. He basileia. The su, look at, he's introducing us to upsilon. See that? Su.
Sneaky.
Your kingdom. So, u stasetai, will continue. But what's the u mean? Not. So it's negating that. It won't continue. Someone from your group, pars basileia. Anyone? What case is it?
Nominative singular.
Gender?
Feminine.
Feminine. From what word?
Basileia, which is kingdom.
Means kingdom. Okay, class, how come on that word, hey basileia, let me go to it, like, let me blow it up here. Why do the article and the word not match on the ending? It's an eta and an alpha. Why don't they match? Yes. They're buddies. That's right. So, first the clension nouns end in either what? Eta or alpha. Right? So, but when they get to the plural, they will all end in what?
Alpha.
Okay. The thing with the articles, though, is that the articles don't change. So if it's feminine first declension, and it ends in an alpha, the article is not going to change up here. It's still going to be hey. So the lexical form ends in an alpha, first declension feminine, but the first declension feminine article will stay eta. It doesn't change to an alpha. It stays eta. So, hey, basileia. That's why it's different like that. But they're buddies. All right. Very good. So, what I need you to do is turn in your homework. We need to tear out pages. Let's, Caleb, can you go to the office and get the stapler, please? Okay, this exercise is worth 50 points.
That one?
Yeah, so we just did. So give yourself 50 out of 50 if you're all, if you did it. I hope you did it. If you did it, then you're a problem. Thank you. Can you pass the stapler around? Okay, let's take our break. You can turn your homework up here. Make sure your name is on that. Does anyone want any extra copies of the practice sheet? Okay, why don't you pass those out so we're like one of those? You still have some homework and quizzes up here to pick up. Your new homework is right here on the corner. Put your homework right here. We're on break for 5 minutes.
David, let me get one of them.
I'm sorry.
That's surprising because you have like 160% of that bus.
Yeah, it was a rap song.
Guys, do a new thing. Do you know how many points are deducted for Chuck Trek's miss?
It's not good.
I'm a Greek bus, bro. I'm like,
I could be amazing
behind. So I'm not going to sleep at all this week.
So it's entirely.
And then sometimes there's like,
wow.
People have like,
that was like my natural a good
mindset,
you know? Like, so people are
like, I feel like I'm really
algebra or I was always more of a good high school person. Geometry. I did well at algebra. I did algebra 2 or algebra as well. Algebra as well, but I didn't have algebra
in the case of
class.
I was
just kind of
thrown
up.
I would say, you get it yet?
Yeah, well, not really.
Sure.
Yeah,
that's really good. That's really good.
It's
really good. It's really good.
It's
really good. It's really
good. It's really good. It's really good. It's really good. It's really good.
It's really good. It's really good. It's really good. It's really good. It's really good. It's really good. It's really good. I missed you last night at Isaac's.
It's like the 360.
So you're for sure down tonight?
I'm down. And they're like, homework.
No bailing. No bailing.
No bailing.
Say Monopoly.
Oh, let your guesses be yes.
Shoot, that's what we were saying. You bailed, then Sean bailed, and then I felt,
bro,
I had to bail.
Come on.
Yeah. And then I left Isaac being alone.
Bro, conviction.
Okay, bro.
got a lot of witnesses.
I literally studied for this quiz and did the homework right before class.
The book says, like, that you not do.
So
speaks against that clearly. You're only cheating yourself all over and over. An hour a day.
15 minutes before class.
If we didn't do that little practice one beforehand, I would have missed the bunch, dude.
Oh, really?
Well, the what's it called? The parsing? Is that what it's called?
The articles?
The case endings?
I didn't know, like, when we're parsing the sigma, nothing new. Is that?
Yeah, that's the case endings.
Yeah, I didn't know those.
Yeah, like, so, I have, like, this photographic memory that God gave me
that's the chuck right there.
But, I like to keep myself, so I'll remember it for today. But tomorrow?
Short-term photographic
memory. Short-term photographic memory. So, like, if I need to do it for a test, I'll remember it for the test, and then afterwards, it'll come back to me if I review it. Like, that. But, like, I went to my home class, and I had to go look at all the cards. But as soon as I did that, it all made sense again. Mm-hmm. But...
I don't eat, I got you, bro. But just keep that in mind. That's such a jerk. I love him. Exactly, he's a jerk. He's like a big, like a little bit here. He's a sarcastic little false prophet. Like when my shoes are matched, the only thing you need to be worried about matching is either, what do you say?
What do you say? Yeah.
The words that come out of your mouth to your heart or something like that? Like, I was like, hey,
I would have deleted them off my phone.
Blocked us.
Everybody said everything.
Okay, everybody, it's one more. Does anyone want any more practice sheets?
Might as well, right?
Well,
dude, I was going to give you two of them. Just can't.
I want that bro review tonight. Come on. Are you gonna whiteboard at your house?
Actually, I do.
Really?
I have a really big one, like the size of that one.
Really?
It's in my garage. We can just bring it in.
Praise God, bro.
We're saying before we get in like the heat of the studying, we gotta pregame it. Some zombies or what?
Oh, yeah.
just to get
okay.
Get in that mood.
Just to relax.
Yeah, just to ease the vibe.
Okay. Turn in your books to page 50. Page 50. Before we run out of time, I want to make sure we go over our vocabulary for next week. Page 50. Okay. Number one, hamartia. Say hamartia. Os.
Hey.
Means sin. Arke.
Arke.
Ace. Hey. Means beginning or ruler. Gar.
Gar.
For or then. Notice it says gar is post positive. What does that mean? It does not want to go first in a sentence. It'll go after. It'll let itself into the next after the next word.
So would it mean it's after the subject?
No. We don't know what the first word might be. It could be anything. But gar doesn't want to go first.
Okay.
It will never be the first word in a sentence.
Right. What's another post-positive word you've learned?
Day.
Yeah. Okay. Apen. Say apen.
Apen.
This is a verb. But he wants us, and it's also an inflected form, meaning it's a changed form, right? Yeah. That's, everyone knows what inflection means, correct?
Mm-hmm.
No, this is a verb, not a noun. So, why would he do this to us? Why would he give us an inflected form of a verb in our vocabulary?
It's
in the Bible a lot.
The frequency.
Yes, frequency. How many times does it say in the Bible, he said?
613 times.
So, in other words, he wants to use it in our homework, so that's why he's giving it to us here.
What would be the lexical form?
We don't need to know.
Yeah. Okay. Ace. Is into, in, or among. What part of speech is this?
Preposition.
This is a preposition. Where is the rabbit hole that we need?
I love the rabbit hole.
Okay, here's a rabbit hole. We've learned so far in. This is ace, meaning into. So we would do this. We're building our little chart. We haven't even had our chapter on prepositions yet, but we're seeing visually what they do.
It could also be in, though.
It could mean in or among.
And that would be translation?
What?
We would change that for translation?
It would depend on what its object is and how it's being used.
Okay.
The basic idea of it, though, is into. Uxia. Uxia. Authority or power. Uangelion. Uangelion. This is the good news or the gospel. What gender grammatically is uangelion?
Masculine.
You repeated what he said, but he was wrong. How do we know what gender this is? The article is the quickest, fastest way to know the truth. What is the article for Evangelion?
Ta.
So,
neuter.
Yes. But if we wanted to know from the word, what is the case ending on Evangelion?
New.
So, nominative singular endings are sigma, nothing new. So it could not be a masculine. Okay. Jesus is Jesus. Yes, that's how I said it. Jesus. But Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
So does Greek not have like a J sound?
No.
Okay. Mm. So it's that kind of more Y.
Neither does Hebrew.
Okay. So it's more Y.
I don't know the history of the etymology of this, but it's like it's borrowed from Hebrew. So you're going from Hebrew into Greek, and then we're going into English. And there's no J in Hebrew either. It's Yah. You know, it's like a Yah sound. So it's Yahshua, you know, for Joshua. Yahweh for Yehovah, for Jehovah. Okay. Kurios. Everyone say Kurios.
Kurios.
Means Lord. Lord, Master, Sir. May.
May.
This is the counterpart to oo. Look at the fine print there. May has the same basic meaning as oo, but is used in different situations that we will discuss later. When oo may occur together, they form the emphatic no.
Wait, so...
No.
Is there just a...
Like, you know, some translations will say, may it never be, yeah, right? Certainly not, is the, like some of the, like, I think the NASB.
God forbid.
That's the super emphatic form here. That's the big no-no. Okay. Yes.
Your opinion. Do we need to write these little paragraphs on our flashcards?
No.
The case, or
just the basic meaning. Yep. Ureinos.
Ureinos.
Heaven or sky. You will often find Ureinos in the plural. This is the result of a Jewish way of speaking. And you can translate the plural as a singular if it fits the context. There might, I'm wondering if there's something in the homework, and that's why it's telling us that. Houtos. Houtos. Okay, now this is different than autos. We've already had autos, right? Autos. That's the third person pronoun, right? This is a different word. Houtos. See the rough breather? Yes.
And there's a circumflex that looks like above that rough breather?
Yes.
Right?
Can
you say it?
Nope. No, don't worry about the accenting.
Okay.
Just the rough breather.
Okay.
Houtos, haute, and tauta. These are what are called demonstrative pronouns. We will have a whole chapter on them. But we're learning them now as vocabulary because how many times do you say this or these? Lots of times. Lots of times. So you need to know them. Sue. Everyone say Sue.
Sue.
Do not name your son Sue. According to Johnny Cash. Okay, now, this is also a personal pronoun. It means you. We will have a whole section on personal pronouns, but again, he's putting it into our vocabulary to make a vocabulary card for it because how many times in the Bible does it say you?
A lot.
A lot. Right. So you got to know it. Huios. Huios. Son or descendant. Child.
Huios?
Huios. There's a rough breather. Huios.
The iota, though.
But the upsilon and iota, they're form of what? A diphthong. That's right. Where will we see huios? It'll be tied to what word very commonly in the New Testament? Theos. Son of God, right? Huios. Okay. Hoste. Hoste.
Hoste.
Hoste. This is therefore or so that. So this is another kind of conjunction here. All right?
Hoste or host.
So as of next week, when we have our vocabulary quiz, you're getting close to knowing half the Bible already. 43%.
Wow.
So Jay.
Wow. Yes.
The New Testament.
New Testament. Thank you.
This is just asking for like far along through references. When we're translating this into English, how do we know which form to use? Because it's like son, descendant, child. Is it just whatever context it's in, or
context? Okay. Yes. Words. Here's my nugget for the moment. Words only have meaning in their context. Yes. Words never have meaning outside of context. Right? So when you go to a dictionary, you look up a word, you have different definitions. How do you know which definition it is?
Context.
Context. Right? And words change their meaning over time based upon their context. Cultural context, whatever it might be. Okay. All right. Let's go back to page 42. Chapter 7. The overview. We're still dealing with first and second declension nouns, but we are going to add two more cases.
47?
Yes. What does case tell us?
Function.
Function. What are the two functions we've learned so far? Well, that's what they're called, but what are the two functions?
Subject
and object. Okay, so we're going to learn two more cases. Therefore, we're going to learn two more ways that nouns can function. You like how I say the same thing three ways, three different times?
Yes.
Yes. Because I'm just hoping that one of them catches in there. Okay? In this chapter, we'll learn the final two major cases, the genitive and the dative. What does the genitive case function? How does it function? It shows possession. The dative case, how does it function? The indirect object. We will also learn in this chapter the concept of keywords. And we will learn noun rules 4, 5, and 6. Okay? On your quiz next week, I will quiz you on noun rules 1, 2, 3. Right now we're going to learn 4, 5, and 6, but your quiz will have 1, 2, and 3. Alright, English. The possessive case in English is used to indicate possession. You can either put of in front of the word, like the word of God. So, the word of God is true. The apostrophe S after the word God's word is true, or just apostrophe if the word ends in an S, like the apostle's word is ignored. So there you have an English inflection, right? Or changing it. We're changing what? We're changing God to gods, but with an apostrophe S. So we went from God to gods with apostrophe S. So that's inflection, isn't it? And what did the inflection do? It changed the function. It went from kind of a subject-object form into a possessive form. All right, so we're going to do the same thing in Greek. We're going to inflect the word differently to show possession. Another way you could have inflected apostle to show possession, apostles in the plural, you inflected it to show plurality and possession with an apostrophe after the S. That's all English, and it's really confusing if you don't know English. Number two there, the indirect object, technically is the person or thing that indirectly is affected by the action of the verb. This means the indirect object is somehow involved in the action described by the verb, but not directly. So it's not the direct object. For example, Karen threw a what?
A ball.
She threw a ball. So what's directly receiving the action there? The ball is. Poor ball. But Karen threw a ball. What's indirectly receiving the action?
Brad.
Brad. Karen threw Brad a ball. She didn't throw Brad. Threw Brad a ball. The direct object is ball, since it is directly related to the action of the verb. It is what was thrown. But Brad is also related, since the ball was thrown to him. Brad is the indirect object. If Karen threw Brad, then Brad would be the direct object. One way to find the indirect object is to put the word to in front of the word and see if it makes sense. Karen threw Brad a ball. Karen threw to Brad a ball. Does that help? Yes, it does. That way you don't make the mistake of what's getting thrown. To whom did Karen throw the ball?
Brad.
To Brad. Brad is the indirect object. The indirect object answers the question to whom or to what. So the key word for the indirect object is going to be
to.
English does not have a separate case for the indirect object. It uses the same form as the direct object. Him is used for both direct and indirect. Not so with Greek. Greek is much more precise. So be very clear if it's indirect or direct. If it's direct object, it'll be what case in Greek?
Accusative.
And we're learning now the indirect object case is going to be called the dative case. Yes. Okay. Genitive is going to show possession. All right. 7.3. Genitive case in Greek can be used when showing possession. Instead of adding an apostrophe like we do, or using of, the genitive case endings are added to the Greek word. For example, if the sentence, everyone breaks the laws of God, were in Greek, God would be the genitive case and have a genitive case ending. Everyone breaks the laws of God. In English, we could say, Everyone breaks God's law. That's how we would show possession, right? Either with of or with an apostrophe. Upsilon is a genitive singular ending, and own is the genitive plural ending. Does everyone see that? You should highlight that right there. Yeah, where?
Yeah.
Yes. Second paragraph under 7.3.
Gotcha.
Upsilon is a genitive singular ending, and own is the genitive plural ending. If you were to see the word lagu, you would know it is singular and maybe showing possession. If you were to see the word lagon, you would know it's plural and showing possession. In English, the possessive case can be indicated by the apostrophe. Everyone breaks God's laws. Greek, however, does not have this construction, so all Greek constructions are in the form of of, laws of God. Nomoi tu their. What does nomoi mean? Law. Laws of God. Would never be two theus nomoi. See, we don't have an apostrophe in Greek. Therefore, in translating, you should think of it with the of construction. The word in the genitive usually follows the word it's modifying. So, nomoi. What case is nomoi? Yoda.
Plural.
Nominative plural, right? So, laws of God. So the word in the genitive, theou, is following the word it modifies. That word is called the head noun. So what's the head noun in nomoi tu theou?
Nomoi.
Because the genitive is following the head noun. Got that? All right. I don't feel convinced that you have that, but okay. 7.4.
Genitive is following the head noun.
That's right.
Okay, yeah.
Genitive will always follow the head noun. Okay. Or actually, usually.
Usually.
Word order is not the most important thing. Case endings are.
Usually.
7.4. You now need an important technique that is helpful in learning Greek. It is the use of what I call key words. Key words are words that are associated with a particular case that you should put in front of your translation of the actual word. Doing this will help you understand the function of the case. So the key word of the genitive is of. You should highlight that. Hey, doxa anthropou. Anthropou comes from what word?
Anthropos.
But now we have the upsilon ending showing possession. So, hey, doxa is the glory. Anthropou of man. So, keyword is of. Not the glory man, it's the glory of man. English, man's glory. Alright, Greek dative case. 7.5. The dative case in Greek has a wide range of usage, roughly equivalent to the ideas behind your English words to, which would be the indirect object, in or with. In would be location. With would be the instrument. In the following examples, toe is the dative form of the definite article. So look at the Greek angelos kurio, kot, anar, aphane auto. What angel is it?
Angel of the Lord.
It's the angel of the Lord because of the upsilon. The angel of the Lord appeared. Look at auto at the end there, the underline underneath it, the last word. That is the dative form of autos. So, it's the angel of the Lord appeared to him? No, it's to him in a dream. It could also have kind of the spheric sense to it in the next one. Blessed are the poor, to pneumati. Is it blessed are the poor to spirit? Like an indirect object? No. This is more of the locations. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Pas, everyone. Ha, or, let's see, orgi zamenos. Zamenos. To adelpho autu. Everyone. Those who are angry. To adelpho. To his brother? No. With his brother. Autu. Look at the genitive at the end there. Autu. So, all he's pointing out here is that the dative case can function, because case tells us function, right? The dative case can function either as an indirect object, to, it can kind of show the location in, or how you're doing it, with. For our usage, when we kind of get going here, it's primarily going to be the indirect object, or the keyword, to. 7.6, under the category of to, comes the indirect object. The indirect object functions the same in Greek as it does in English. In Greek, the indirect object is put in the dative case, which means it uses the dative case endings. For example, if the sentence, God gave the world his son, were in Greek, the world would be in the dative case since it is an indirect object. God gave the world his son. God gave to the world his son. Okay. He would give you living water. What if we use the key word for the indirect object? Does that strengthen that? He would give to you living water, right?
Yeah.
So when we translate it, we're going to use that key word to strengthen the indirect object. For the time being, it's best to use the word to in your translation. 7.7. Yoda is the dative singular case ending, and is the dative plural. In the singular, the final stem vowel lengthens and the iota subscripts. So, what's happening here is he's telling us morphologically how we get our endings. This is just background information for us. What we see in the final form versus how we get to that. That's what's happening here. Okay? This is not something you have to reproduce or get quizzed on or anything like that. This is just showing us how the form is going to end up. Alright? So, let's look over at the chart on 7.8. Here's the full paradigm of the first and second declension. The genitive and dative are placed in between the nominative and accusative. All right? So we're going to grow our case ending chart.
Yeah, it's going
to be. Oh, man. Huh? All day, baby. I'm just like, you base this book. I do that for you. I know you.
Yeah.
So what we do on our chart is we add in, after the nominative, we put the genitive. Then we put the dative. And then the accusative.
Oh, nominative is subject.
Everyone see that?
I think, yeah.
I think that's because this is kind of like the beginning and the end here. And this is what's going on in between. Maybe. Alright, then we do the plural. Genitive. Dative. And accusative. Here's the really encouraging thing. This is it for the nouns.
Okay. After this chart, we're going to go.
We're not going to add anymore.
Oh.
We're not going to build this chart anymore after this.
For nouns, though.
For nouns.
Oh, yeah. For nouns? Okay, for nouns, not for now. Okay.
But remember, we don't really get verbs until next semester.
Yeah.
I'll reach on.
So we're living here, right here.
For the next few weeks, we're not forgetting this.
Shit.
Okay. All right. So let's fill in what we know. What is the nominative singular sigma. Case endings?
Sigma, nothing new.
Okay.
New.
Accusative singular.
New.
Got it.
Nominative plural.
Yoda.
Alpha.
Okay. Accusative plural.
Us.
Look at that. The chart looks so less daunting now. We're so close. Okay, let's do the genitive. The genitive case endings. Upsilon is the same for
you?
Yoda.
The masculine and the neuter, right? Upsilon. What is the first declension feminine?
Sigma.
Right?
So the masculine and the neuter will always be the same?
For the genitive singular.
Okay.
In the second declension. Okay, now, let's do the plural for the genitive.
Plural for the genitive?
Yes.
Omega nu.
Own.
Own.
So what's the masculine?
Omega nu.
Okay. Well, my front row is super enthusiastic.
Oh, they're in the front. On the front. Omega.
You guys see it in your book back there?
Yeah, it's on the front.
Okay.
7, 8, right?
Own. Right? Own.
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 That's easy.
Own.
Yeah.
Own.
What? I was going to say how to make that sound, but then I was thinking, wait, because I was going to be in the English room. Okay. Maybe we should pull the door. Okay. So, the genitive case tells us what?
How is it functioning?
Possessive,
right? And what are going to be the case endings? Upsilon, sigma, upsilon. Own.
Which the genitive is possessive.
Yes, the genitive is possessive. Now, let's do the dative case, singular. Look on your chart. What is the dative case singular?
Yoda.
Oh, that's super easy, right? It's all the same. All right, now, dative plural. All we do is add the sigma from the singular. Is. And this cannot be any easier, could it?
Okay, I have a question. You might have gone over this. Why is there a 6 over this?
That's a footnote. Don't read the footnote. The
footnotes are freaking me out.
Here is the key to the rest of the semester. Right here. That in the article chart.
So, the dative, it's
dative
is indirect.
Indirect object.
Gotcha.
Okay, so on the next one, we write a Yoda underneath it?
Wait, you're jumping ahead.
It's confusing me.
I know, that's the part.
That's
going on.
Are you ready for the next part?
I'm ready. Let's go.
It's
3:50-ish.
Okay, remember, all we've learned so far is the function of new cases. The genitive case.
Possessive.
Possessive. Date of case?
Indirect object.
Indirect object. And we now know their case endings to recognize them. That's the heart of what we have to learn.
Wait, so when we do it on the test, I'm just going to have to do this big one.
I'm going to have you fill in this chart.
This big one instead of doing two separate ones. There's no point in doing that.
Right.
Will this whole thing be on the quiz?
Next quiz will, yes.
Wait, so.
But both let's like that. For it.
Both like that, or just the.
And go cap?
This one. The top one. Wait, the Dana singular is easy. Yoda, Yoda, Yoda.
All Yodas.
And then for the thorough, just add a sigma. It's
you.
Done. On. Damn. Okay, we got it.
Own.
Owned all the way through.
I got it.
Okay. Own this really hard is right one sigma, oops, one. Okay. All right. This is what you have to know for quizzes. This is what you have to know for testing. Yes.
We don't have any practice quizzes with this?
I'll post one online.
Thank you. That'll help a lot.
Okay.
Just like last week?
I was supposed to do last week. What did you get on your quiz today? 32?
Yeah.
Oh,
you're good.
You're fine.
Okay.
All right. All right, now, when we attach the stems, right, like log on, now it's going to be logoi. Let's look at what that looks like. That's not scary.
Scary when you write it in red.
Okay. But here's the problem. Let's keep going. We're gonna have a couple problems here. So, I see one problem. This, what's going on right here? Right?
Yeah, that's a no-go.
You can't go log on.
So you take off.
That's one problem. There's another problem. Right here. Right? So, we know that this is the way this one is. So, what's going on here?
Would it be the...
Let's not guess.
The omega with an eosensual.
Ooh. All right.
Where do you get that? There it is on the chart.
Okay. Okay, let's look at... let's go back now and look at the morphology of what's going to happen here. Back at 7.7. Okay? On page 44. Iota is the dative singular case ending, and is the dative plural, right? We see that in the chart. In the singular, the final stem vowel lengthens. So, ah becomes o. And the iota does what? It subscripts. That means it's written underneath. So, the first example, alpha iota will become what? Alpha with a subscript. So, basileia will become basileia with a subscript. Does the subscripting iota affect your pronunciation?
No,
we learned that in the beginning. It only affects meaning. So this is where we're having that happen. The Greeks needed a way to differentiate between logoi and logoi. Look at the next one. Eta with the iota becomes eta with the subscript. Agape plus the iota becomes agape with a subscript. Oi becomes o with a subscript. Logoi, or excuse me, laga with iota becomes logoi to logoi. They don't want to say logoi because it sounds Italian. So, lago. Okay? So what's going to happen here? This is going to lengthen to omega. And what happens to the iota? It subscripts. Okay? That's what it looks like in real time. But what is still the case ending? Technically, bless you. Technically, it's still iota. Iota is the case ending. Iota, iota, iota. But if you look at the second chart in 7.8, look at 7.8. Look at the dative singular. What's happened?
Subscripting.
This chart right here. Okay? So what happened when you add your final stem vowels? This chart is the chart that shows the final stem vowels attached. Are we learning this chart?
No.
Do you have to memorize this chart?
No.
Just the other one. But it's still interesting to see what happens when you add the final stem vowels. So, in the data singular, it lengthens, subscripts. Subscripts, does it lengthen?
No,
it doesn't. But it subscripts. Lengthening with subscript. Yes.
So, data singular is the only one that lengthens?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. What?
And it's the only one that subscripts, I think
he said. Yes, it is the only one that subscripts if you look down there.
Okay.
Yes.
So then why don't we just learn what the data singular is like is the omega with the subscript? Why is it?
Because technically that's the case ending. Okay. Later on, it'll be good to know what the true case ending is. And so here we just want to know it. We want to know the chart, the true chart. In real time, we'll see the subscripting. We go, hey, there's a iota. That must be dated. Okay. All right. Let me see what else is going on here. I just want to make sure I don't skip anything that I want to talk about. I usually not talk about that. Okay. You remember back, I want to show you one thing. When we learned the nominative and accusative on a chart, the alpha had the line underneath it. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back there.
38, right?
Let's see.
There might be more than one page.
32.
On page
32. Yeah. Okay. Okay, in 6.12. Is everyone in 6.12? He's explaining what the paradigm is. And then halfway down he says, do you guys see that? A dash means no case ending is used. See that? Caleb, you see that?
Page 32.
A dash means no case ending is used and the stem of the noun stands by itself. And here, the next sentence is the one I want to draw your attention to. The underline under the alpha means that the case ending actually joins with the final stem vowel. Okay, now look at the footnote. We're gonna move into footnote land right here. This is called contraction, and I will discuss it in detail later. For example, the stem of the noun ergon is erga. When it is in the neuter plural, its form is erga. The omicron and the alpha have contracted to alpha. So erga plus alpha equals erga. So there was contraction together. They went, they just smooshed together. That's why he puts the line underneath it to remind us of that. Now, flip back to page 45.
So it's somewhat like, what place is it? Is it, will that happen always?
It depends on what's next to each other. Okay. Contraction can take place. Okay, but so far, for what we know, yes. Okay, now look back at page 45. At our chart, our case ending chart.
Oh, I see a few here.
What do you see under the genitive plural own? What do you see? You see a line under there, right? Okay, so what is that telling us? Contraction took place. Let's come back to our other weird ending here. Lagaon. What's going to happen?
It's going to take away the lagaon.
Contraction is going to take place. So this gets smushed in this. They're related. One's a short and a long O sound, right? So it's becoming lagaon.
Whenever there's contraction, does the ending part stay? In other words, the omega always?
Not necessarily. It has to do with strength.
Okay.
Which one is stronger? And this is the longer sound. It wins. Now, do we keep this underline under here? No, we don't. You won't see that. But in our paradigm, he's showing it to us to remind us that there's contraction there. So the stem is laga, but when you add the ending to it, the omicron contracted with the omega.
So even when we have it written out like that with the omega, the stem still is with the omicron. Now.
That's right.
You can say the stem is with the omega.
That's right. The stem is still laga. Okay? Look at page 46. Top of page 46. Here is the chart. This is the we get the belt out. Right? This is lagas, lagu, lagero, lagon. If you want to find that movie, I'm going to show you guys that. King James learned his Latin that way. All right, lagoi, lagon, lagois, lagus. So this is what the words will look like when they're inflected. What do we have to be kind of aware of? That the yoda subscripted, right? That the omicron contracted right there with the ending. If we go over to the neuter, ergon, ergu, ergo, ergon, erga, ergon, ergois, erga. Feminine. Singular, stems ending in eta or alpha are the first declension feminine. So graphe, graphase, graphe, graphane. Yoda subscripts, right?
Can you repeat those again? That's when you get a pronunciation.
Graphe, graphase, graphe, graphane. Or an alpha ending. Hora, horas, hora, horan. Now, stems ending in alpha or eta, when they go to the plural, will all end in what?
Alpha.
Graphi, graphone, graphis, graphas. Horai, it's not up there, but horon, horais, horais, horas. So, this is what words look like when they've been inflected. You will not have to reproduce this chart. Right? I did. When I took Greek. And I had to walk in the snow to get to class and all that stuff. Okay. Okay. All right. This is just so you can see it. Where must we go next? The article. Because the article is key to learning the noun system, you should commit it to memory. There are no more forms of the article. Yippee. Woo! No more possibilities. The article never changes. This is all you need to know. Learn them well. The article is your friend. So, if you look at the article, you see the change. What the same kinds of endings that you'd expect. Yes.
Are we memorizing that chart too?
Yes.
This one? The article?
This one, the article chart, but not for next week. I will spare you. Let's just get this for next week. Let's just get that case ending version down. Okay. This one up here.
Huh?
No. Okay.
Well,
so, ha he ta, tu taste tu, to te to, ton tain ta, hoi hai ta, ton ton ton, tois tais tois, tus tas ta. Follows the same pattern you'd expect knowing the case endings. Let's say this together for fun. Ready? Ha he ta. Tu taste tu, to te to, ton tain ta, hoi hai ta, ton ton ton, tois tais tois, tus tas ta. Got it? There you can see on the top of page 47 the full paradigm. If you had the articles with the inflected forms. Halftime review. This is where we're going to stop.
Yeah.
Hey, don't celebrate too much. Okay. Number one, the genitive case indicates possession. What's the key word to the genitive?
Of.
The word it modifies is the head noun. Two. The dative case can indicate the ideas of two, like the indirect object, or in or with. The most important paradigm to memorize is...
7.11.
What? 7.11? That's a typo.
What?
It's not true.
7.10.
Yeah, 7.10 and...
7.8.
7.8. How did he say that?
Probably because
that
has the articles
in it. And
I guess so.
All the graphs.
It
has it all together.
It goes against Mouse's philosophy, though.
Okay.
Sorry,
Mouse.
Okay, then in 7.12, really quick, I don't want to stop yet. 7.12 is your noun rules. You know these already. In the dative singular, the iota subscripts is possible, right? You knew that? And the dative singular is going to subscript. And then five, vowels often change their length or a blot. A blot is the technical grammatical term for a vowel change, a blot. We'll try to say that as much as we can.
A blot.
A blot. Omega to omicron, omicron to omega. Six, top of page 48. In the genitive and dative, the masculine and neuter will always be identical. You already see that up there. Okay. Alright. Here is for next week. For next week. Vocabulary for Chapter 7, the full case-ending chart, your alphabet, and your homework from your workbook, to do parsing.
Your workbook. This is exercise 7.
Complete the parsing part. Because the parsing part is just endings. Right? And then underneath that, just for practice, write out the forms of the article. Right there. You can get that from your book. Then we will do the translation part in class. I wanted to get as far enough where you can do the translation all by yourselves, but we didn't quite make it, okay? So just the parsing and just writing out the article. Yes?
Could you say that we do have
vocab? The quiz will have vocab from chapter 7. Okay, we'll always have vocab. Okay?
So next week, vocab, chapter 7, full case and in chart, exercise 7, and...
Exercise 7, parsing, and article
1 through 3.
Nouns 1 through 3. Super easy. Sam, Zenny, and Ada are all for the first declension. It's a film of blank.
Thank you.
Not yet. No, we'll add that chart in another week. Alright? Hey, you guys are doing really well. Honestly, I've taught Greek multiple years now. I can tell by your faces and your answers that you're giving to me that you are right where you're supposed to be. Remember, we're in the fog, right?
In the fog. Okay.
We're in the fog. If you've got the alphabet down, you're doing really well right now.
Nailed it. I'm
doing good.
Okay.
Doing
good.
You're welcome. Don't like the fog.
Like when I read chapter 7 before, I didn't understand it.
I didn't even understand that.
I think the Peter is kind of silent.
How do you say no again?
Which one?
It's two ways.
It's
two ways.
It's two ways.
Put together.
Alright, are you going to okay, so this was the homework. That's the homework to record. Everyone got a 50 on it.
When are you going to the refuge?
Oh, that's true.
It was like